Yo, what's up? Beast Place, December 8th, 2020. A lovely Tuesday, sunny day in Augusta. Augusta's got the big runoff election coming up game, but it's we've entered the full-blown holiday season. As far as I'm concerned, the holiday season starts basically the week before Halloween. And I don't mean Christmas, but you go through... You go straight from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas. And then, of course, in summer, you have the 100 days of summer from Memorial Day to Labor Day, or as otherwise known as the summer season. And then we have, you know, spring that's fairly empty, devoid. You have Easter. It's not a big deal in the States. As a Romanian, though, it's a way bigger deal. But we're not in Romania. Gotta love the holiday season. Already made one trip to Walmart. If malls were still the thing they were, I would go to the mall and just walk around. I before really the online thing, so about like 3 years ago, 4 years ago was the last time I did this. At Christmas time, I would just go to the mall just to walk around the crowds. I actually love it. Even though I'm this introvert, it sounds... If you knew me, you're like, what? Really? You do that? Yeah, I love walking around the mall in the big crowd. I mean, yeah, it's annoying to find parking and all that, but still, what you gonna do? But yeah, this is just my variant of the holiday season. Really about the week before Halloween. You can't go much further for Halloween because it's a big deal, but it's not that big a deal. Best Halloween movie of all time, Hocus Pocus. It really grabs the meaning thereof, and like the feel of Halloween, I think the best. I can't think of another Halloween-specific movie, period. Maybe like Idle Hands, The Karate Kid's got a strong Halloween piece. So you could maybe argue the same way people say Die Hard's a Christmas movie, right? It just happens to be set during Christmas. There's like Christmas activities going around. But aside from that, there's no like Christmas message. You could have easily set that movie over Labor Day and had the same exact meaning to it. I guess there's a little bit of added family talk. Whatever. All right. But then it's like the week before, and it all goes back to like how strong these effects were on me as a kid, where like that was the cycle we did in school. About the week before Halloween, we started doing like Halloween stuff, themed things. And we would have like a Halloween, blah, blah, blah. And it was usually like the week before Thanksgiving as well. It starts to be a run up to Thanksgiving. And remember, like, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania from 2nd through 6th grade, and it's cold. Now, Halloween, I remember vividly not being that bad. Like, it wasn't terribly freezing cold. But in Maryland, it was always pleasant. And in Augusta, you know, it was hot. I mean, like, I think I wore shorts to go trick-or-treating with my... My little three-year-old, it was his first real trick-or-treating. We took the two-year-old out, and he was so far ahead of her that we were like, all right, we're just going to let him split up because she's way slowing him down, and he was, like, annoying her. So, all right, we'll continue on. But I was wearing shorts. I did not have a costume. When we start getting older, I might start doing a costume with him. It's going to be a few years when he's really going to really appreciate the costume and want me to do it, because I'm guessing like around 12 plus or minus, it's gonna be, I don't want you there anymore. Move on from that. But then you go on to the Thanksgiving time frame, and you gotta like think too, in the Marine Corps, we usually got like a day off for the Halloween, we didn't get any time off, but like we got a day for Veterans Day. And we usually got like a half day to like a day and a half something for the Marine Corps ball a lot of times. And so that's like 2 days plus another 2 days for Thanksgiving. Plus, people would take vacation time around. Like, this is the way I do it now. I wait till there's a federal holiday, and I take a vacation around that. So I get, like, kind of more bang for my buck. Kind of, especially, like, a Thanksgiving that's on Thursday. The very least, I'm going to take that Friday off probably, like, every year. We have to use a
day off
to get that. But anyway, so that's, like, to me, that's the holiday season starts about a week before Halloween. I'm starting to get into Halloween mindset, maybe 2 weeks. Start watching some, like, silly horror movies, Hocus Pocus, Scooby-Doo, that sort of thing. Then you start moving into Thanksgiving. And that's become a bigger deal because now I take, like, a pretty long break and go see my parents. So that was this year, folks, and week with them. Coming back from that to work the next week was rough, I'll be honest. And then you have, after Thanksgiving, like, what I call, like, in my head is, like, this December lull. Like, everyone just sort of slows down. Now, theoretically, you're not really supposed to, and I don't know that how many people do this, but it goes back to the school's command for 2 years in flight school. The, it was 2001, 2002, 2003, yeah. For 3 years, everything would shut down, like, around December 12th, plus or minus. It's like the first 2 weeks of December, we're doing stuff, and then it closed until the second week of January. And it was basket leave. And what that meant was that they just gave us that time off. They just shut everything down because everyone was going to go home for the holidays. And it was the school command was going to screw everything up. So they just were like, just go. We're not going to fight this. You know, years and years of doing this, they figured it out. Where I work now, almost everybody takes, like, the last 2 weeks of the year off. My supervisor, direct supervisor, is literally taking, like, almost 3 weeks. And it has to do with this use it or lose it thing and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so it's like, but it's this whole season thing. So you shift from one thing to another, and it's almost like a way to get through life when it sucks. Is in OCS, they did this thing where it was like, there's mindset. And the mindset was, make it to the next meal. Don't think about, I have 10 weeks of this. If you sit there, and you've probably heard this a million times, you're like, give us, like, little baby steps. And one of those baby steps is, make it to lunch. Okay, you think about, like, how hard today was, how much you got yelled at, blah, blah, blah. And then you extrapolate that out 10 weeks. You're like, oh my God, 10 weeks of this nightmare. How can I ever do it? But if you break it down into smaller component parts, that I just got to make it to lunch. Because at lunch, I'm going to get about 20 minutes to eat. And then I'm going to get some time. Like, they rushed you out of the lunch area, and then you went and stood in line, and you weren't really supposed to talk so much. But what I did was I carried around this book called Rifleman Dodd. And I would, like, in those 10 minutes, I would just read. I had that, and there was something else. Like, stuff I had to study and learn, I would just sit there and read my stuff or stare out into the river. So you get these moments of respite. So you just go from moment of respite to moment of respite. Like, I just got to make it to the next meal. I just got to make it to the next whatever event. And at the end, towards the end, especially, like, the former enlisted guys would come up with stuff like, you just got to make it. It's two more wake-ups. They would just think of it not in days, but how many times do I have to wake up? I just got to wake up 12 more times, and I'm done with this. And yes, after OCS, things got a lot easier. It is way harder in a lot of ways than anything else you do. In some ways, it's easier. It's the most, like, kind of, because you have so little autonomy, it's, like, the most painful, like, that. But at the same time, it was more painful than TBS, but TBS was worse. Like, wait, what? Yeah, because TBS, you had a lot of autonomy. You got off Friday at some point. You didn't, and at the end, they were just like, once you got past all the things you had to do to pass, there's, like, another 3 weeks of stuff. They were just like, eh, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. See ya tomorrow, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. Whereas there's moments in TBS where you're waking up at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning because you have to be in line in front of the chow hall at 5. So when they open the doors at 5:30, you're in and you're out. But it was stuff like that, right? So you get... And the other painful part of TBS for me was that I was kind of expecting, okay, we got through the hazing piece of this pledge period, if you will, and now we're in, but it's not. That never ended until I was a captain. So if I showed up, I signed up in August of 2000. I showed up to OCS, January 1st of 2001. And that sort of like pledge period kind of lasted thereabouts about September of 2005. It's kind of annoying because you're the new guy. I think that's an aviation specific problem. Because in aviation, what happens is you move from thing to thing. So you don't get much time in senior spots. So what do I mean by that? You show up to OCS, obviously, the whole time. And then TBS, the same thing. At the very end, they kind of let off you a little bit, but you're kind of like, it's still mild, very mild hazy. It's mostly nuisance-y type stuff. And you just get, like, people just have a bad attitude towards you. It's actually the best way to describe it. So what do they actually do to you? Not a whole lot. Like, just a lot of a lot of ambiguity in what we were doing and things like that. But then the other piece that was bad is just your senior's attitude towards you is this like disdainful, like kind of like, oh, I'm gonna do mean things to you. And then sort of goes away at the end. Then you get to pre-APIs, just waiting around, and they just sort of don't care. They're just like, hey, what's up? They're kind of harsh with you, I think they have to be. And then you get into API, and then that's really not, it's very school, academic, not a lot of getting messed with, not a lot of getting talked down to, or et cetera. Then you get to primary, okay? And it's hit or miss. Honestly, most of my instructors were Navy dudes. Most of them were relatively, like, I was decent enough not to get failed, and like I didn't get not a lot of disdainful treatment. And then when you get towards after every solo, you get a little bit more respect, right? You earn your respect a little bit. And here's where it sucks. You get to the end and you got, okay, it's like you're not just sort of kind of a animal, you know, you're not just like a bacteria. You get an intermediate and you're like at least get the respect level of like maybe a dog, like a family pet, which is good. That's fine. But then you move on to helicopters and it starts again. You're like, imagine you beat a level of Super Mario and you do it again and it's like the exact same level. What? I'm doing the same level again? But I just beat that level. Nope, same level. Same thing there, except they're a little harsher. I don't know why, but they're a little bit harsher at the Hilo school. And as you move up, you get less, like the amount of them not being jerks doesn't decrease as much. But at the end, when you're about to graduate, then it goes to like, hey, you're a normal human. You suddenly turn human. Then, and that lasts for me and my roommate at 303, that lasted for like 3 weeks. We were on top of the world. We were graduates, and actually might have been more, like we were there for a long time just sitting there waiting for our orders, and we finally got them. Then we wait. So it was like, I want to say I graduated July and we left in like October. No, I graduated in July, and I was in San Diego in September, and I had another 3 weeks. So it was like 3 or 4 weeks in Pensacola, Florida, where I was hanging out as a graduated flight student. And a graduated flight student is probably better than being a captain or major working for the commands, because no one cares about you anymore. They're done with you. You've done what they wanted. They've gotten what they wanted out of you, which is a graduated student. That's how their success is measured. Did you graduate to just not get in trouble? You guys both did that? Do what you want. We had to show up for a weekly muster. It was like Fridays at like 8 o'clock or something. And that was it. I was like, do you want us to call in? No. No, I don't care what you do. Don't. But you get in trouble. So don't get in trouble. That's it. That was your like, just behave. Be nice. Behave. Me and my roommate behaved. I mean, we're having fun and stuff, but nothing, just saying stupid. Whereas when you're new to that command, it's nonstop. It's like, actually, it wasn't bad. All you had to do was like have a cell phone and call in. I don't really call it. You had to do the muster until you got a job. I got a job on the base. Anyway, but it keeps doing that. You get to the rag, and then I was just an officer. I was just some first lieutenant who was hanging out on the base in San Diego. So, like, people are nice to you. They treat you like a normal person because they don't know who you are. And even if they did, they don't care. Like, oh, you're just a they called them racks, the replacement air crew. Like, ugh. But it's disdainful. It's like, rack. Not like, oh, look, it's new racks. It's like, ugh, racks. It's like a FNG. It's the same thing. So, anyway, but I spent 3 weeks as an officer, and then we spent 2 weeks at Sears School, and I finally show up to the rag. And again, at Sears School, we were just officer, first lieutenant officers, tons of O2s. There was a bunch of lieutenant JGs from the Navy. There was like a Marine captain. I think that was the highest ranking guy and so on. No bigs. And it was like perfect place to be because I was an officer. We weren't the most junior. There was a bunch of ensigns that were Navy SEALs. We weren't the senior guys. That was a couple of the Navy personnel and a Marine captain. We were officers, so we got a little bit of more leeway. The whole bit, it was fine. Then you get to the RAG replacement. Well, it's called the FRS now, so Fleet Replacement Squadron. And back to being a rack. It's like, oh my God. This is now. It doesn't happen in API or pre-API. So it happens at OCS, but that's expected, whatever. And then TBS, less expected, but still okay. I took it hard, but I tend to. But okay. Then you get to primary, and then it happens in advance. This is the fifth time in 3 years. It just gets old. And you're finally like, you just had it. You're like, okay, I've had it. Some guy, name was Major Rowe. I'm sure he's a fine person. Cobra pilot, of course. Gave me, like, was angry at me because he said my uniform was wrinkled. And my response is, it was, I took it straight out of a dry cleaning bag this morning. It looked perfect. Well, it was wrinkled in the back. Looked like it was sitting at the bottom of your sea bag. Like, you're exaggerating. Right? Like, for a moment, I look back on it, and I should have been like, whatever, dude. yeah, sure. But I took it kind of a little serious for a little while, then I just gave up. And it was like this slow giving up process because, wait a minute, what am I supposed to do? I just took it out of the bag. All I did was ride in the car. So if there's like a fold in it, it's from riding in the car. And now you're like getting to the point where I'm going to have to do those crazy things. Like, people think it's crazy. Like, I don't wear the jacket in the car. I got to wait till I get to the parking lot and then put it on, because if I don't, it'll be wrinkled. I didn't think of that. All right. And I'm sitting there going, like, instead of taking that as a lesson learned that way, I had a bad attitude view of it. But still, man, like, number five, it's just getting old. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of you doing this. Can you please? Just, you don't have to be nice to me. Can you not be mean? And it was primarily, it came a lot from the Cobra pilots. A lot of the Huey pilots that I worked with were not that way. So, and whatever, right? They just liked, and it wasn't every one of them. There was just a few that were especially a-holes, and they shined. And this Major Rowe guy actually was overall not that bad. It's funny because I ended up working for him, and I show up. I'm like, here I am to work for you after you, you know, after we had that, he had kind of had an issue with me, and I was sort of like, you know, I don't know what you want me to do, bro. It's my answer. I don't think he liked it. And I didn't like, and I, but we got past it. So, and then you get to the fleet and it happens again. And then I got to a Mew squadron and it happened again. I'm like, I have a deployment. I can sign for aircraft. You guys, they kept changing the rules because I kept pointing out that I shouldn't be, I was a first lieutenant, but I should have been treated like a captain or not. So back step. There was a guy that was the most senior captain. Okay. There's no such thing as senior captain, junior captain, but there's a guy that was the captain the longest. So there's a guy that's the captain and he had the most years in the Marine Corps too. He's like, he was probably going to retire as a captain because he was prior enlisted like 20 already had like 22 years. He was given the role of duty officer. And he decided that he was only going to give duty to lieutenants. But he didn't want to make it by rank. So he did it so that if you hadn't deployed already, you weren't, if you had already had a deployment, you wouldn't have to stay in duty. And that was almost every captain, right? All but one or two guys. And that was cool. And I walk up to him like, I shouldn't have duty. And he said, why not? And I'm like, well, because I have a deployment. So I get out of duty one time, whatever, one cycle. Because he's like, okay. Well, he goes, oh, just do this one. And then, you know, in the future, I won't put you down. But he didn't like that. Because what was going to happen was this. You had one first lieutenant who was going to not stay in duty because of the, you have to have a deployment rule. And there were like four captains who were going to be standing duty. And he was like, this is going to cause a problem, right? Because these guys are going to notice that. And when they do, they're going to be like, hey, butu, 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 butu. So he changes the rule. You have to be a signer and have had a deployment, right? So now he thinks he may change the rule. And I walk up to him before he makes the new thing. I go, I'm also a signer. He's like, oh, what? I'm like, yes, I'm a signer. Before I came to this squadron, I was designated. He's like, what, you designated at this squadron? I'm like, yeah, because all the designations were signed in. So if I had a designation from my previous squadron, there was just a piece of paper in your folder that said this CO takes the last CO. Stuff happens all the time. Otherwise, it'd be a nightmare because you'd have to read. So anyway, just easy way to do things. Not that it matters. And suddenly he's like, oh, that's not going to help because like now I've got this kid that, and finally he just made it so that he set the criteria as like added captain to it specifically for me, specifically so he could give these four captains and all the lieutenants all of the duties. Okay. One of those dudes, his call sign was train wreck because he was an emotional wreck. That guy decided to fight the power and caused most of what, all of what I'm saying came because this guy noticed it. He was mad. He was mad because the only reason he didn't have a deployment was because he had gotten injured or something. He had like snapped his leg, right? It was the same reason he was fat. He'd spent like, I don't know how long in traction, all the way. And he was like, but bro, I don't understand how I'm getting screwed. I was in the hospital for wherever it was, you know? But that's what I'm talking about. Never ending. Anyway, that's not what I meant to talk about, but we're out of time. So see you next time. Love you. Bye.